Good morning, church. Why don't you stand up and give a hug to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. Glad you're here. Hey.
Hey.
Can I get you guys at the very, very end? I'm going to do this thing where, you know how it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want you guys to be goodness and mercy, and I want you to follow me all over the church wherever I go, okay? Can you do it?
Okay.
Let's see Denise. I don't see Denise here.
Denise, I don't
know. Yeah, that lady. I was going to get you and...
Yeah.
Okay, I told her to come today.
So, I'm glad you're here today.
I'm glad you're here today, too. Hey, I don't see Denise.
Oh, okay.
Hug.
Hug. Well, you let me know.
Okay. Okay. All right, please be seated. Had a good visit last week. Visited the Inner City Church in Mobile where I was from 94 to 98, and we helped start the church there, and they celebrated their 20th anniversary last Sunday, and they send their greetings to you and thanksgiving for the gifts and for the allow me to come down there. So, but I'm glad to be home. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be with everybody this morning. And it's good to be back. And I appreciate David. I heard David did a great job last Sunday. We are starting today a series that I think will encourage you. I'll be honest with you. I'm doing it for myself because I'm at a point in my walk with God where I feel this soul fatigue in me, and I feel like I need to explore this, and I know you need to explore this well for some of us here today. But we're going to be talking this spring about growing spiritually in an exhausted and overloaded culture that we live in. There has never existed in the history of mankind, and I found this very interesting as I studied this past week. We are so overloaded with information in our culture. The Daily New York Times now contains more information than a 17th century man or woman would ever have encountered in their entire lifetime. That's a lot of information. In the last 30 years, mankind has produced more information than in the previous 5,000, and obviously it's because of technology. Gordon Moore, co-founder of Intel, coined Moore's Law, which states that the processing power of computer chips doubles about every 18 months. Is that true, Ken? That's about close? Yeah, it probably is even more close, probably 12 months now. I mean, everything's changing so quickly. A couple more let me show you. About 1,000 books are published internationally every day, and the total of all printed knowledge doubles every 5 years. And Dr. Dharmasingh Khalsa, in his book, Brain Longevity, says the average American sees 16,000 advertisements, logos, and labels in a day. And you wondered why you were so tired. It's true. When our lives are overloaded, when we have too much stress, we have too many things going on at the same time, too much information, little time for God, that is going to equal soul fatigue, where we are just exhausted spiritually on the inside, not only physically, but also spiritually. And we're paying a very high price for it in our country. We have health problems from this. Our body language speaks volumes. You know, when you walk into a room, 85% of what you've already said it before words come out. You've already spoken how you feel and how you're doing. It makes us weak spiritually when we are unfocused. It makes decreased job performance. Soul fatigue causes a lack of joy and peace in our lives. And obviously, marriage and family problems. But I think this last one is the interesting one for me, in that it causes a dissatisfaction with who we are as people. when we're not connected with God, when we feel disconnected from the Lord, it makes us feel dissatisfied. Maybe you're not enjoying life right now. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe your relationships are, you know, not doing well because you're just too tired to do anything. Okay? Because you know it takes effort to work on your marriage, to work on relationships. I've got some good news for you today. Soul fatigue is not God's plan for our lives. Okay? If you look at all of our schedules combined and all that we're doing every day, I think for a lot of us, God would say to each of us, that's not my plan for you. You're doing entirely too much. You need to pull back. So today I want to look at, very quickly, five signs of soul fatigue, and I want to look at God's prescription, which always, it's interesting how we always go back to Psalm 23. And there's some passages in there, the first three verses primarily, but you're going to see something in there that I never saw before this past week in that psalm. It's beautiful, about restoration. So let's pray together as we begin. Father, we look at all that's going on around us, and we confess, Lord, we're tired. And we confess, Lord, that we have allowed our schedules to become so busy in a lot of cases because we've chosen to, Lord. And we've kind of inched you out of it. And we ask your forgiveness today. Help us, Father, to restore what our priorities in our lives. And Father, put you back where you belong. And I pray, Father, today that as we begin this series, I ask your Spirit to guide every step. And I ask that you be glorified and honored, and that, Lord, that you will search our souls today. You said you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And Lord, we want to have hearts like that. We want to have hearts that are eager to seek you, eager to know you. And I pray today for that you will restore our souls, that you will draw us close to your heart. Help us do those practical things that will help us to grow in our walk with you. And I ask that your Holy Spirit will lead us in our thoughts today. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. There's five signs of soul fatigue. The first one is a constant state of being rushed. You know, we live in a culture where it's everything gets faster and faster. In fact, we get annoyed if things don't go fast enough for us. In fact, you remember the last time that you were in line at Walmart and somebody pulled out a checkbook? What did you do? We're like, we're in a hurry. We want things to happen quickly. And it wasn't that way. It has not always been that way. But think about all the different things that we have. We send things by Federal Express. We have a long-distance company called Sprint. We do our finances with Quicken. We diet with Slim Fast. For some of us, we wear Speedo. I don't wear Speedo. We'll never be caught dead in a Speedo. That's a scary thought. Let's keep moving here. When your life is so consumed with stuff, and you're constantly being rushed, and you're constantly in a hurry, when you get to the, you know you have soul fatigue, when you get to the point where you don't want anything to interrupt your day, because if anything interrupts it, it's going to throw a whole snag into the whole thing. And I'm here to tell you today, that is not God's plan for your life. It's not God's plan for my life. Another sign of soul fatigue is a difficulty making decisions. You know, 100 years ago, all you had was lye soap. You used it for your shampoo, you used it for your body, that was it. Now you have 1,260 kinds of shampoo. We have choice overload. I mean, go into a supermarket, go into Walmart, we see it. 2,000 skincare products. I didn't know there was that many. I mean, that's crazy. 30 years ago, we had 3 television stations. Now you have thousands. You have cable. And this is even worse. You go to lunch to get something to eat, and then you got a menu with a whole bunch of choices. When you just want to go to one place, they go, give me a burger. That's all I want. You know? That's all I want. So how many of us wrestle with indecision? How many aren't sure? How many need more time, okay? We are a rushed culture, and because of that, we have difficulty making decisions, and that's a good sign of soul fatigue. Another one is we have lots of information and little wisdom. Solomon said in Proverbs that wisdom is more precious than rubies. Wisdom is knowing how to use what you've learned in life, your experiences, and how to put it into practice every day in a way that honors God. He didn't say information is precious as rubies. He said wisdom. And I'm wondering, are we the wisest culture that's ever existed? I don't think we are. I think we're so overloaded with information, you know, that we have little wisdom on how to do things. Another sign of soul fatigue is that God will seem very distant and that you're spiritually dry. Because what happens when we are moving so fast, we don't have time to reflect spiritually, we don't have time to think about God, we don't have the time to think, even pray. We wonder why we're feeling so empty spiritually. And it's because we have soul fatigue. And it's time to step back and say, you know, I need to do some things in my life. I need to get some control of the way things are going in the direction I'm going in my life. Finally, the fifth sign of soul fatigue is when you begin to have the decreased ability to love people. People getting on your nerves. People getting annoyed. You could tell when someone is exhausted because they have no patience with people. So what is the answer for soul fatigue? Very simply, God says, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. Aren't you glad about that? Say amen. Amen. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. If we are going to get strength, if we are going to get out of this soul fatigue, God is the only one that can get us out of that, because he never grows tired or weary. God doesn't go to sleep, Psalm 121 says. So we come to the David Psalm in Psalm 23, and I want you to just listen to these first three verses. We're so familiar with them, I think we miss things that are in them. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. God is telling us how he restores souls right in this text. First of all, God restores my soul when I reorient my priorities. My priorities on him. And Glenn, I thought about you guys this week. You know, Glenn has and Julie have sheep at their farm. I would love to come out to your farm and see these sheep. Look at that sheep. He's so at peace because he's with the shepherd. The first passage, I think, is a clue as to what's going on in here. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Why do sheep need a shepherd? Well, sheep are dumb. They're not very smart. They are prone to straying away. They cannot see well. And Glenn, you could probably offer more advice on this. I would love to hear what you have to say on this. But as I understand it, sheep need to be guided. They need someone to show them the way. And I think that's a powerful metaphor for you and I. Not that we're dumb, but that we are prone to go astray in our lives. We need somebody to guide us. Who is your shepherd? Some people say, job is my shepherd. I shall always be in want. Maybe your family's your shepherd. Maybe your addiction is your shepherd. Why can't we be our own shepherd? And that's really where it comes down to, I think, for most of us in this room. We are our own shepherd. We're guiding our own lives. And my question to you is, why can't we be our own shepherd? It's because of sin. We don't know how to guide our lives. We don't know how to live our lives. We need someone to show us the way. And I love Jesus says these beautiful words, come to me. Come to me. Not come to church, not come to religion, come to me. All of you who who are weary and tired. Tired of legalism, tired of rules and regulations. And I will give you rest. Jesus later would say he is the good shepherd. And for that reason, he says, you can come to me. Now, for a lot of us, we think, you know, well, we get so tired and bogged down and stressed, we start thinking that God doesn't care about our lives. God's got a busy universe to run. He doesn't care about me. But any good shepherd will be very concerned always about their sheep. Every one of them. Even if one strays, Jesus said, he will leave the 99 to go after the one. Maybe that one is you today. Maybe you've strayed from God. Maybe you've come here today and you're like, man, I'm struggling in my walk with God. I'm just not so sure anymore about things, and I'm exhausted, I'm tired. And God says, I'm glad you've come here today. Because you're the one I'm going to leave to go after today. If the Lord is your shepherd, you're going to discover that he is all you need. Why is it that we have to have trials and tribulations in life to suddenly realize God is all we need? And all that we're really looking for is a connection with him. When it all boils down to it, we all want to be connected with God. Why do you think people do drugs? Why do you think people drink? Why do you think people do all these crazy, you know, mantras and all this stuff? They're trying to connect with God. And Jesus says, you can do it through me. And you will learn that you will discover that I am all that you need. And you will learn to be content in whatever circumstance that you are, if God is your shepherd. Advertisers love to make us feel discontent. They love to make you feel like you are nothing until you purchase this product. And I'm sure we all have seen commercials lately where, you know, it's very humorous, and at the end you go, oh, that's what it's about. Oh, okay. But advertisers are after one thing, to make you feel discontent. You want to know how to break free from a culture that emphasizes more and more and more and more? I think it's to simplify. Simplify and deaccumulate. If that means, you know, having a yard sale at your house to get rid of some stuff, go ahead. It'll mean something different for everybody in this room. But simplifying our lives, I think we need to start there. Where we say, you know, I don't need to be doing this and this and this and sacrificing my family on the altar. I need to pull back a little bit and simplify my life. God restores my soul when I reorient those priorities, but he also restores it when I allow him to control my life. That's what Psalm 23 is all about. It's asking, who is your shepherd? And if he is your shepherd, are you going to allow him to lead you and guide you? The Lord is my shepherd. He may not be your shepherd. He's my shepherd. And I shall not want. In other words, God provides all that I need, and if what God has is enough for me, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Why would a shepherd have to make sheep lie down? It's because they are stubborn. And that means God is trying to tell us, you're stubborn too. And we are. You know why we're so stressed out? It is because we want to control our lives. We don't want anybody to get into it. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. I can do it myself, thank you. And that's what causes us stress. Instead of allowing God to lead us. You know, one of the many reasons why sheep will not lie down is because of fear. When they sense danger, when there is danger in the midst, they don't want to lie down. They're afraid. You know what the most repeated scripture is? Fear not. 365 times in scripture. One day for every day of the year. It's a common command. Why do you think God would do that so much? It's because you and I are prone to fear. We're scared. I've reached midlife, and this is where I am, and this is what I'm struggling with. Or I've reached the, you know, I'm 70, I'm 80, and my health is deteriorating, and I have these fears about my future. I am a young person. I don't know what my future is going to be hold. I don't know what I'm going to be doing with my life. And we all, at different seasons of our lives, struggle with fear. Fear of the future, fear of the unknown. And God is saying to us, don't fear. I am here with you. What are you anxious this morning about? Maybe you got a family problem. Maybe you got a relationship issue. You know, maybe you're worried, maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're worried about, you know, the future. But you know, 90% of the stuff that we worry about, we have absolutely no control over. And we stress ourselves out worrying about things that we have absolutely no control over. And my question to you today, if the Lord is your shepherd, what do you have to worry about? If God is guiding your life, if He is leading you, if He's in charge, if you've surrendered your life to Him and you say, Lord, I trust You with my life. You lead me. Here's the car keys. You drive. What do I have to worry about? When the storm comes, does that mean God has left the building and He's not here with me and I'm going through this crisis in my life right now? And where is God? He says, I'm right here with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That is the God that we serve. And we get in trouble when we try to control. No, I want to control it. God's like, let me guide you. If you live in a constant state of worry and anxiety, then the Lord is not your shepherd. You're your shepherd. And I'm not saying that we all don't worry and about things at times. But when you do worry, stop what you're doing right there and say, God, I'm going to surrender this anxiety to you today. I'm stressed out about this. I need you to carry this. It all boils down to, you know, do I trust God? Doesn't the Lord have my best interest at heart? Does He not have your best interest at heart? And even during the storm, He can say, I'm still here. I'm going to walk with you through this. I'm going to bring good out of this. I'm going to take you through this. And I'm going to show you that you can be trusted. You can trust me. Do not be anxious about anything. Golly, Paul, thanks for being straightforward with us. But here's a man writing from prison. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God and the peace of God. That peace that we seek, that we cannot go get from the store. You know, when everybody gets all stressed out, let's go to the store and buy things. And then you get stressed out next month because you get the bill. But the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. People look at you and say, you're going through this trial in your life. How do you have so much peace? And it's because it is a supernatural peace that only God can give. I have seen people in the hospital rooms. I have seen them with cancer. I have seen people with trial after trial in their life. And they have this glow about them. There is a peace about them. And it's because they have surrendered it to the Lord. And whatever you've brought in here this morning, whatever burden is on your back this morning, give it to God. Let Him carry it. Stop trying to do it yourself. And I'm talking to myself, y'all. I'm notorious for carrying burdens. It will guard your heart and your mind. Why do you need your heart and your mind guarded? Because the enemy comes in when you're stressed out. He's going to fight for your soul. You need that peace. And you can only get it through prayer, through God Himself. I love this picture of this woman. That's how I picture most people today. They're carrying all this stuff on them. And God didn't design you to carry stuff. God created you to walk with Him, to follow Him. Cast all your anxieties on me. I care about you. And we think God doesn't care about me. He's got a universe to run. Well, you're His sheep. He is the shepherd, and the shepherd cares about the sheep. What is going on in your life right now, God deeply cares about. And the reason I know this is because for those of us who have children, when your child is stressed out and has problems, do you just sit there and say, well, you know, sorry for your problems? We're concerned about our children. And why would we think God is any less, who is perfect love? God is concerned about what is going on in your life right now. And He cares, deeply cares. Where does God make us lie down? It's interesting. This is what was a real something I learned this week. We think the green pastures are like Ireland, you know, these beautiful green, you know, or like Tennessee, you know, the hills of Tennessee. But in actuality, the green pastures in Israel are sparse parts of grass in rocky areas. Just enough for today. God says, I'll make you lie down in green pasture, and I will provide enough for you to today. And what He's telling us is, I want you to depend on me daily. As I make you lie down in that green pasture, I want you to learn dependence upon me. Dependence. He leads me beside the still waters. Sheep do not like loud running water. Did you know that? An American culture is addicted to silence. Did I get it wrong? We're addicted to noise. I'm going to prove it to you right now. We don't like silence. We like noise. We go home, we turn on the television, we turn on the radio in the car. We are constantly bombarded with noise. And when you have constantly noise, then you cannot hear from God. There's a monastery that where people could go where it was a vow, they took a vow of silence, where they could not even talk. And the only time they could ever talk was once a year, the head monk would call them in, and he'd say, you have two words you may say. So every year, they had two things, two words to say. And they had to be silent the rest of the year. So this guy enters this monastery, and first year goes by, and he walks into the head monk's office, and the monk looks at him, he says, what do you have to say? He said, bed hard. Walks out. Next year goes by. He says, food bad. Another year goes by. He goes into the office and he says, I quit. And the head monk says, well, it's about time. All you've ever done is complain since you got here. We don't like silence. You know, the average American watches 4 hours of television per day. Did you know that's 12 solid years of your life that you have spent by the time you're 72? You've spent in front of a television. That's a really scary thought. The problem is not necessarily what we watch, although we could talk about that. I think the problem more is about the fact that we're not listening, connecting, and building relationships with people. It's easier for when we're tired just to disconnect and turn on the television. And the irony of it all is when we're tired, you know, we want someone else to do our thinking. But here's the question that you need to wrestle with. Does watching television restore you? Do you wake up the next morning and say, gee, I feel so energized today because I watched that show last night. Probably not. We need times of silence. And I've been learning this myself. It's you know, I got to turn the radio off. And I love music, love listening to music. But I need to think, you know, I need to have some silence where I can think and pray and remind myself, you know, God is in control. Be still and know. Be still and know that He is God. So let's try an experiment this week as we close today. Let's try an experiment. Try to cut your television watching or internet watching, whatever you want to call it, by 50%. It's going to be hard for some of us to do. But try doing something together as a family. Read a book, walk, pray, play a game. Just do something that is involving relationship building. And see what a blessing it will be. So what's God trying to teach us today? I had to write this out because I just don't think there's any other way to say it other than this way. God is telling us today, I want to be your shepherd. I want to be your shepherd. I will restore you when you allow me to lead you. Stop trying to control and manipulate your life. Stop worrying about things you have no control over. Let me carry those burdens for you. I care about your life. And you will discover true contentment and peace when you allow me to lead you. When you allow me to be your shepherd, you will discover that I am sufficient to meet all of your needs. That is the God that we serve. And here is my promise, he says. Here is my promise to you that I will walk with you through difficult times. Come on up, guys. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want you to think about this passage. Here's goodness, and here's mercy. You know, life can be going well at times. You still have goodness and mercy following behind you, right? Well, life starts getting fast and moving very quickly. Hope you guys are keeping up with me. Goodness and mercy are still behind me somewhere. They're still back there. And when I come down to a crawl, where my walk with God is so spiritually shallow, and I'm struggling, and I've got problems, and I've got trials, guess who's behind me? Goodness and mercy. Thanks, guys. And that is the God that we serve today. The God that deeply cares about your life. The God that wants to be your shepherd. Wants you to guide. He wants you to say, Lord, guide me in this. Lead me. We all have seasons in our lives when we're distant from God. We feel dry as a desert. I've had moments like that a lot in the last 23 years. And there's times when you need to rededicate your life to Christ. There's moments when you need to pray and ask God to, Lord, give me a fire in my heart again. I need that restoration. And maybe today you just need that, someone to pray for you. To say, you know, I'm dry spiritually. I need to be restored. And I need God to touch me today. Or maybe today you're ready to begin your walk with God. Maybe you're saying in your heart, I'm ready to follow Jesus Christ. I've been thinking about this for a while. What do I got to do to get my life right with God? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you say, yes, in my heart, I know I've sinned against God and I've hurt God with my sin, and I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. And I'm ready to turn away from sin and repent, which means to stop going my way, which is what sin is, and make a 180 and start going God's way in my life. And baptism is where we begin that relationship with God. Whatever you need is once you come as we stand and sing.
Lord, your beauty. Your face. child, your grace abounds to me, O Lord, my body. But you keep reminding me, of many holy tireless men whose filled a touch from you, your book of books lies undisturbed, and the prayers from me to you. Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. The lamp of my first love that's fueled with holy fear. Oh Lord, your is all I seek, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Be seated, please.